Hi, this is Alan Chartok in the Congressional Corner with Congressman Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District. He's been in office since January 2019. When we last got together, Congressman, you were talking about your work on PFAS contamination. Are you feeling that the people in your district really are very concerned about this?
Well, I mean, it's an issue that is affecting people's lives directly. It is a real threat. And the fact of the matter is we've witnessed this now for some time. It's not like this is a brand new issue. You know, the PFAS contaminant has really been sort of front and center since at least 2012, 2013, in terms of its impact within our community. So, you know, for me, coming into this, what we're seeing is that on the national level, there are more and more people who are being exposed, and we're seeing the work of scientists, the work of organizations like the Environmental Working Group that are doing a lot of research in this space, and the data, you know, is showing that this is a threat, and it's one that is happening all across the country. So, again, we're talking about just taking some basic steps here to ensure that the public is protected. And we have to be able to move the ball in this space. And we have legislatively. We've passed legislation, the PFAS Action Act, earlier this year, a bipartisan bill that would make sure that we are regulating this this toxin, make sure that we do have an MCL set. In that same bill, I have my own legislation that I introduced that is folded into the PFAS Action Act that would stop the practice of allowing companies who dispose of the contaminant to do so into wastewater management systems without, in fact, telling the operators of those wastewater management systems that what they're disposing includes PFAS or PFOAs. Which is, you know, on its surface sounds obscene. There should be a requirement to inform people what they are actually being asked to break down in these wastewater management systems. And to date, there is no such requirement. So, yes, there's a lot of work that we have to do in this space. I'm very diligent. As I think you may know, I brought Michael Hickey with me to my very first State of the Union, and he was the gentleman in Hoosick Falls, you know, who after losing his father, you know, decided to test the water locally, and it became pretty clear that there were high levels of this contaminant.
And where is it coming from? Do we know?
Well, it comes from there's a number of sources. You know, so there's the one source, particularly in the case of Hoosick Falls and Petersburg. The chemical is used to coat plastic, so it's typically associated with manufacturing of plastics. And so as part of the runoff of that process, you're going to potentially expose drinking water to the PFAS. But it's also used on military bases and firefighting foam. In fact, as part of the NDAA, we were able to get rid of PFAS in firefighting foam. But it was used to clean military equipment, and that's why we've also got a bill that would track service members who were exposed to PFAS, because we know that given how much is used in that space, there's going to be a high degree of exposure there. So those are your two areas, whether it's a military base or whether it's a manufacturing a plant associated with plastics.
Okay, let me move on from there and ask you about broadband. Now, we now know in this culture, in this society, particularly with what we think may happen as a result of coronavirus, and people are going to have to stay home and be on their computers a lot more. You've been doing a lot of work on rural broadband where people don't have it. How are you coming?
Yes, this has been a real priority of mine from day one, making sure that people have access to broadband. You know, we're being left behind here, and it's primarily because rural communities don't have dense populations, and the private companies don't want to invest dollars in communities where there's not going to be a high demand, and you need dense populations for that. And so, you know, we're not seeing private investment in this space. But the government is not a private investor. The government has an obligation to promote the general welfare, as it states clearly in the preamble of our Constitution. And so the notion that the government is now acting like a private investor it should be unacceptable. We have an obligation to ensure that there's a level playing field in the information age for everybody. And if we're going to be in the information age, if we're all living on the information highway, then we all need to be on it. And right now we have too many communities who are being left behind, particularly in rural parts of the country for the wrong reasons, not to mention the fact that the way we map broadband is just fundamentally flawed and dictated, again, by the mentality of capital investment. We have currently what's called census block mapping, whereby if there's one house in the entire block that's deemed covered, every other house in that block is also assumed to be covered. Now, if you're living in densely populated urban areas, that might be the case. But if you're living in rural communities where people live miles and miles apart and have farmland and, you know, mountains between them or, you know, rivers, at a certain point, you can't just assume that everybody has it because they fall within a certain block. We need street-level analysis. And that's why last appropriation seasons, I got an amendment in that would make sure that any funding used to map broadband would, in fact, do so in other ways beyond census block mapping. Two more points on this. I introduced a couple of bills that would get us a better quality and access to broadband. One would require providers to let the FCC know exactly what it is they provide and not just tell us what they advertise, which, by the way, is the law of the land right now. They are only required to inform us what they advertise and not what they actually provide.
I don't get the distinction. Can you go a little further?
Oh, there's a clear distinction. I mean, when you advertise, what do you tend to do, Al? What do you tend to do? You might want to elevate the situation or embellish situations, correct? I mean, that's what advertising is about. Right, you might see a nice sandwich looking at you on a TV commercial. It looks beautiful, right, on TV, but it might look the same way when you actually order it, right? So it's the same dynamic with broadband. If you're telling the FCC, oh, we're giving people high grade, you know, the fastest possible speeds you can imagine, and then you ultimately look under the hood and you realize, wait a second, they're actually not getting that, and the service doesn't have that kind of quality. That we can't do our job at the federal level to make sure that we're accounting for that discrepancy. So that's the first piece. The other piece is to ensure that to the extent communities are deemed served, oftentimes they're deemed served in a flawed fashion, that they have the means to challenge that finding and create their own maps. So we have an opportunity here to create funding for communities to access the funding for the very purpose of challenging a finding of being served. And lastly, we want to require that the speed level be at about 100 megs. 25 is just too slow. It's not future-proof, and we want to push the envelope there to make sure that if we're going to invest these dollars, we do it appropriately. FDR did the Rural Electrification Act, and he did it because he recognized that nobody in America, the wealthiest country in the world, should be living without electricity. In the same vein, we need to have robust public investment in rural broadband across the board. And if we can't partner up with private actors to do it, then we need to be investing our taxpayer dollars to ensure that everybody has an equal playing field. We're talking about telemedicine. We're talking about making sure that our kids can download their homework at the same rate as other kids across the country. We're talking about growing the economy from the ground up and being able to sell your goods and services in equal fashion as any other business owner would in any part of the country. Right now, we are literally being left behind in that regard, and it's inexcusable.
Well, we are out of time. It all goes too fast on this program, Congressman. And when we come back the next time, I know you don't like to talk politics, but let's talk a little politics, okay?
I appreciate you.